Well, we're here and we are reviewing a king size Kirby blockbuster. I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
King size.
I think it is. It's king. I mean, Kirby's the king, so it's his size. He's a king.
Is it king size like the candy bars?
Yeah. Delicious and great.
It is delicious and great because it's Jack Kirby.
Yeah. How could you not like it?
Well, they didn't like his faces.
I mean,
his Superman faces.
Yeah, his Superman faces. So they had them touched up.
It's just weird. I mean, we'll probably talk about it for every single issue. It's just weird. Like, why would you decide that Jack Kirby can't draw something? Unless it's
I was going to say, honestly, a lot of people don't know this, and I don't think you know this, but he had been drawing duck bills on Superman, and that's why they had to have him redrawn.
Okay.
Because he went this whole, he thought maybe Superman needed a duck bill, and they just were like, oh, Superman doesn't have a duck bill. We can't have that. So I had to redraw those faces.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes
sense.
Totally
makes sense. Even though this is before the Destroyer Duck book, well before.
Well, maybe it's because Superman's now out of the way. And so.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, when we last left our intrepid heroes, they were out to seek the Mountain of Judgment.
Mountain of Judgment.
And which we determined was Mountain Fuji.
Oh, yes.
But.
The baby face.
Yes, the good guy. We decided the Mountain of Judgment was a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, why would it not be?
I don't know. It's a good question. Like, it's the Mountain of... I mean... I think the Mountain of Judges right now aren't so good.
Yeah.
I think rulings are going to start to come that are interesting.
The judging will be judged. And those who judge are going to be judged.
We spent a lot of time last episode talking and setting up these stories with Jack Kirby. We are into our second issue of the Jack Kirby blockbuster with Jimmy Olsen. We had some discussion off the podcast of whether or not we should pivot and go through the books in order, all of the New Gods books. We decided not to. We're just going to go through the Jimmy Olsen, but I'm probably going to read them for the first time. You tried. Yeah. You were the one against it.
I said we should, Dan, and you said, oh, that's too many books, Greg. We just don't have the time.
That is not what I said.
And I was like, Dan, what do you mean we don't have the time? We can just do it. I mean, it's a podcast. We'll just go for years and years and years.
Well, I mean, we could just start a Jack Kirby podcast if we wanted.
Okay, that's it. That's what we're doing.
I could go get the Jack Kirby book from over here and like we could go through everything he ever wrote.
Oh my goodness. It would that would just be volumes and volumes.
And while we're doing that, we'll start a Dragon Ball Z. Or not a Dragon Ball Z, a Dragon Ball podcast where we'll read every single, not watch the show, but we'll read every single issue.
Oh my.
We'll do that.
And then act them out correctly.
Yeah. Okay. Only if I can be Vegeta.
Okay, you can be. I'll allow it.
Actually, I'm not Vegeta. I'm totally blanking. Who was the very first villain with Vegeta? The big bald wrestler guy. That's me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what his name is.
I can only hear the guy on Dragon Ball Z Abridged saying, hey, Vegeta. And I can't remember his name right now.
Hey, Vegeta.
I've had the action figure many a times.
He looks like a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes. I could be that person. I know somebody on the listening is screaming at me right now for not knowing these things. Look, folks, I'm watching it for the first time, okay? Cut me some slack. I just watched some guy with a name that starts with a D just get destroyed by Vegeta, and he was Freya's henchman.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And he was big in pink. Yeah. He was big in pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just got like taken out.
Yeah. With his little thing on his head.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was good. So I'm watching some destruction every time. In fact, every time I go train at certified on Bridgeport and 27th in Tacoma, Washington with Jiu-Jitsu lawyer Paul, I get to watch two more episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Two episodes and a workout?
Well, that's
living the dream.
Fits the training period, right? So it's good times. Yeah. So I mean, they're on the planet Namek. I know that. And the Namekians are getting, like, they're not doing well.
No. That's true.
The Namekians are. And then the last episode I saw, Vegeta was just shooting them with his hand. Yeah. And it wasn't going well for them.
Not going too well.
No, the Namekians are, I feel like I need to go back and watch original Dragon Ball so I can see the Namekians in their full power. Like when Piccolo was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Piccolo's dead, so.
Yes.
I think it's interesting too, like if you watch Dragon Ball Z, that intro scene, when they show the Z team or whatever they're called. Like, yeah. Two-thirds of them are dead. Like, after, the 20th episode or whatever.
Yeah, they're regenerating.
I don't know. They didn't do well. Tien, the weird doll guy, the baby that's not a baby, that's really creepy. The baseball player guy.
They didn't fare too good.
Yeah, no. They didn't do well. And so now Gohan and Krillin are wandering around on this planet with the annoying lady with the blue hair.
Yes.
Somebody was trying to convince me that there were strong female characters on Dragon Ball Z, and I argued that I didn't see it, and she is really showing me. Is it Boba? Is that her name? What is her name?
I believe, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm going to mess up all their names, because I have not watched this 500 times like the rest of you have, but, like, we're supposed to be talking about Superman's ex-pal Jimmy Olsen, though. And we are talking about Dragon Ball Z.
It's easy to do sometimes. We could talk about One Piece, too, if you want to.
No.
Just joking.
I don't know anything.
My grandma can tell you all the stuff.
Well, your grandma can tell us all about all of the, like, sumo wrestlers, too.
That's true. She can.
Which would be cool.
Although, she's happy right now because it's over, so she can go back to her regular TV watching. The big matches are over currently.
If Baba came on the podcast...
Oh, my goodness.
That would be very interesting.
It would be so interesting.
That may have to happen sometime.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if she can handle it.
Baba loves technology.
She does. We can try to get her on.
Well, anyway, we flip to the first page and we get, "Beware, prepare for events new to all your past experiences. This is a strange assignment upon which Jimmy Olsen and his young friends, the Newsboy Legion, have embarked. Come to the wild area, the subworld of bizarre subcultures like the Outsiders," as he hinted is suing, "who live with a secret..." The awesome, deadly secret Jimmy Olsen hopes to ferret out. I don't like ferrets, really.
Oh, dude, I had a ferret for like 10 years.
Of course you did. Everyone has a ferret that is you.
My ferret was awesome. Ricky Tikki Tavi. I mean,
of course. Yeah. Obviously. I don't dislike ferrets. I just anyway.
He was albino and had pink eyes. He was great.
So they're taking the Whiz car.
The Whiz wagon.
The fantastic Whiz wagon. The Fantasta wagon.
Fantasta. It's a Fanta.
And
Fanta wagon.
Well, anyway, this comic work is written and penciled by Jack Kirby and inked by Vinnie Coletta again. So,
hey, yeah.
Build is Vince Coletta. So, Yeah. All right. Well, we get going in this book and we find out that we get a little recap at the top. We find out why Jimmy's leading them because he won trial by combat against the weird iron face people.
Oh, yes, that's right. He whooped them good.
He did in like three panels. It's well, like, the Newsboy Legion helped too.
Yeah, well, they definitely played a giant role.
Well, how come Scrapper didn't get to be the leader?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, Scrapper and we Flipper Dipper is in the front of the Whiz wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Flipper Dipper's in charge. Well, and he's done really well so far while he's in charge. Well, anyway, they're going to the Mountain of Judgment, and somebody says, the howling white whale, the mammoth Moby Dick. Wow, okay. I mean, based on that guy's dress and appearance, he's ready for the mammoth Moby Dick, too, so.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He is definitely dressed as a 70s stereotype.
I was gonna say he definitely has a daddy look.
A leather daddy look.
Yeah, he looks like he does. Do you think he's got a leash with a Doberman somewhere?
Maybe. I don't know. That might be 90s or 2000s or 2010s or 2020s, but. Well, anyway, we flip the page again. There's, they got the GPS cameras rolling. They're ready to go.
They're not convinced.
And Scrapper's like, that head cat, Morgan Edge, will be watching, and he's laying out the bread. I could never do a Brooklyn accent. Do you want to try being Scrapper? Because I don't think I can be Scrapper.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm not from the East Coast. We're on page three, and do you know how I know we're on page three?
Because
this book has page numbers.
Yes. There's and page
see,
numbers.
If they're good enough for Jack Kirby, they should be good enough for everyone.
Yes.
What? Yes, Jack Kirby uses page numbers.
Hey, you know, some people use them, some people don't. You know.
But Jack Kirby uses page numbers.
Yes, Jack Kirby uses page numbers. Yes.
I don't want to hear it.
I see. It's okay.
Look, you know what? While you're getting ready to be Scrapper, you're finding me.
What?
Is this what you're
insufferable.
Finding me?
Insufferable. Yes, Dan. I'm finding you insufferable.
When I talk about page numbers? Look, while you're getting ready to be Scrapper, I'm just going to read some really good Mark Waid stuff.
Oh, okay. I was just going to jump into the Scrapper.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Okay, you want me to just reread what you just read?
No, you can read the next part. The next panel.
Don't dance it a foul up the ranks. As old man
should he's the macho have... man?
No. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, he's... I
didn't know the Macho Man was a Brooklyn accent.
No, I'm just reading it just like it's written. He's a mushy guy.
Well, anyway, he's trying to film stuff and the Gabby kid ends up with his ass in the shot.
Yeah.
They're not particularly good at the whole filming thing.
They are not.
Now,
just like us.
And then Super Asshole shows up.
Oh yeah, is he drunk again?
I don't know. I don't know what his problem is. Like he's like, hold it down, everybody. I've got something to say.
I got important business.
I followed the boys here to stop them from finding this Mountain of Judgment. It means certain death for them. How does he know that?
Because I already judged them.
I mean, Superman's a jerk in this comic. Like, what does he think he's writing? Is this a Marvel book? Like,
well, I mean, like, it's definitely a book of Jimmy Olsen finding his own feet and walking away. and Superman. Well,
that's fair, but is this Squadron Supreme here or what?
Superman definitely is coming off like a major asshat because he's like, I know what's best for everybody. And it's like, dude, this is like the wilderness area, man. Everybody's cool. They're doing their own thing.
Let them be free. One of the Leather Daddy subs rides a motorcycle at Superman.
Right at him.
And yeah, they have to clear out and Superman lifts up the motorcycle and just tosses it aside. And then they shoot something at Superman and they shoot him with kryptonite gas again, because apparently they've got kryptonite gas aplenty. How do you make kryptonite gas? Is that like if you eat the wrong vegetables?
and then bottle those farts. Yeah. And then you're just farting in a jug, and then you like keep it in a big fart jug, and then you gas up the gun with the fart.
And it's yeah, and how farts. Did the people in this place get kryptonite gas, right? Like, is it it's just part of the area here.
I'm assuming maybe kryptonite fell to the earth in this wild area, and they found it, and then they found a way to, you know, turn it into a gas that they could use in their gas guns.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they meant to. They for them, it's a different experience, right?
Yeah.
They gas each other, you know, they're shooting each other with a kryptonite gas and they're having a laugh and a good time, you know.
Is this where the Remy Zero music starts playing?
Yeah. And it's like they're all just like giggling and having a great time and people are losing brain cells, and then like Superman, he's like, oh my God, you're trying to kill me.
Well, after they gas Superman and carry him away, Jimmy sends everybody out to go to the Mountain of Judgment. We get an ad for some Giro Power big racers.
Oh yeah. And, do you remember these?
No.
Oh, my older cousin had some of these and I thought these were so cool. Like you had to like get them going with their kinetic little deal inside to make them go fast. They're super cool. They work great on the floor, but not good on carpet.
Not so good on the carpet. Well, most things don't roll well on carpet.
No.
Fast 400 scale MPH, no track, no batteries, no motor, no push. And that's what's happening here with the Wiz car on page 7. And the Wiz car is rolling. And Jimmy's got his Racer X outfit on. Except he doesn't have an X. Yeah.
He doesn't have an X.
I guess it's a Speed Racer outfit. I don't know. Well, anyway.
Something.
They decide to Wile E. Coyote, or Roadrunner, I guess. Technically, they're Roadrunnering, right? Because if you're Wile E. Coyoting, you'd hit the wall. Mm-hmm. But if you're Roadrunnering, you'd run through the wall, right?
Yeah.
So they Roadrunner it?
Yeah, they just go.
They end up going into the mountain. And they're all excited about getting into the mountain here. And the Wiz car keeps going. We get another advertisement. And then, the ground opens up. And a whole bunch of the motorcycles, like, die. And motorcycle people die.
Did they die or just go to sleep for a while?
they look like they're dying. I believe it says those who make it go on, those who don't become part of the din that follows in the wake of smash-ups. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I guess that sounds like they did die. So
I guess Super Jerk was right.
Death was upon them.
And Jimmy doesn't seem to care. He just keeps going.
Jimmy's on a mission, man. He's got to go find this Mountain of Judgment.
Well, there it is, the valve entrance to the water course. So now they're getting into the water course. Ah, this is where Flipper Dipper's going to, like,
it's gonna shine
here. He's got a shock grenade. Where did they get grenades from?
Okay. Mr. Edge, man. He's always pushing it. He's Edgelord, just giving him the goods. I mean,
he's an Edgelord, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, okay. He's got a ton of... Wait, okay. Hold on a second. Let's think about this. He's a guy who's got a ton of money. He has a he's got the access to vehicles and like this crazy car thing that looks electric and media services and stuff.
How
like
are you
that.
Talking out of your comment? I don't understand how you're getting out of it right now.
And his name is Edge. Then he's an Edgelord.
His
sounds
name
so
is
familiar.
Morgan Edge.
Morgan Edge. Okay. Edge. I wonder if he.
And he's been around for two issues.
Yeah. This is a. It sounds like it's laying the groundwork for something totally different. But
are
anyways,
you saying? Are
let's
you
continue.
Saying we're still waiting for the climax of the story?
Yes. Yes. Can let's find out what Flipper Dipper does.
The climax of Edge's story.
Yes.
Is that like a spear, or is that like the rated R superstar, or is that the terrible crap he's doing now in AEW? Because that is hot garbage. Did you see that clip of Jon Moxley having spikes stuck in his back?
What?
It's disgusting. Like,
how? What? How did that happen?
Their television is literally unwatchable. Like, it is. It's not even fun. No, like they made a board with spikes and they hit him with it or whatever, and they were like sticking out of his back, and he stood up and the thing was stuck to his back.
I'm in awe, and like that's insanity. Who would say, yeah, let's do that?
It's just dumb. Like, in late.
That's like some backyard wrestling stuff.
Yes, it's like some backyard wrestling stuff. Like, their product is hot garbage. I'm not saying that the other product is super better, but it is very, very popular right now.
But they used to be the good product.
Yeah, and now they're not. They went downhill.
Now it's backyard wrestling.
Hot garbage.
I mean, and I like backyard wrestling people.
Yeah, but if we're going to backyard wrestling, we just want to go to backyard wrestling. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I open up my window and look outside.
Well, anyway, Flipper Dipper is not so good with the grenade and, like, blows stuff up. And
yeah, I'm surprised he didn't blow himself up.
Running out while Scrapper catches him.
Yeah.
But the wheels are not doing so well. And then we get some wild-ass art.
This is crazy.
Amazing. Like, I flipped this and I was in the omnibus and I was like, mm-hmm. And now we're looking at the actual pages. And I was like, I thought in the omnibus, they must have lost the colored pages and had to replace them. Like maybe Kirby kept them.
I thought that the scan was bad. And I'm like, I jumped ahead and I'm like, No. Okay, well, I went back.
I was in the omnibus and it was the same. So, yeah, it's, wow. Without warning, Jimmy Olsen and the Newsboy Legion find their whiz wagon careening madly through a nightmare of kaleidoscopic form and color, but he does all of this in black and white, and it is wild. This is some of the coolest couple pages of art I've ever seen.
I mean, it's... They're in color, right? They're probably seeing all sorts of color. We're not seeing it, but the art is like, yeah, like it. How does he do this? Because it looks like mixed media, but it's not. It's
Jack Kirby.
It's Jack Kirby, people. This man is a king. And this is the king size business we're talking about, Dan.
Well, and then you flip the page as they're going through this, and then it goes right back to Super Jerk, and he's lying there. And he totally transforms it back to being a Superman comic in one page. Like, it is crazy. We get a nice little six-panel grid of Superman trying to figure out how he's going to go rescue everybody and take care and make sure that they know that he's in charge. You know, if you only read these books, you would hate Superman.
You'd be like, this is the worst Big Brother ever.
Yeah. He's just a jerk.
Super jerk. Man, I don't need him. What a buzzkill.
But he does point out that he's right, too. I guess it was a vain hope, but there's been casualties. The Outsider's vehicles are wrecked, but the riders don't seem seriously hurt.
They're just sleeping, Dan. Just like when you're Pokemon. Just like when you're playing Pokemon. Your Pokemon never die. They just go to sleep
for
a while.
They just go to sleep. Yeah.
They just go to sleep.
It's just, yeah, I mean, we do have the Comics Code Authority on here. I mean, we've got all these new gods here that torture people and do all sorts of things, but these guys are just going to sleep.
Yeah. Just sleep.
Oh. See, now here is that page in color. That's weird.
Oh. So maybe he did, like, he probably did color and did it and not color, and they're like, all right, we like it like this because the detail is crazy. That skull is awesome, dude. I mean, even like black and white or color, I mean, doesn't matter. I'm looking at it right there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I want to know. I want the actual page in color.
You want it in color? Oh, give it to me in color, please.
But anyway. I mean, yeah. So, well,
it's great stuff.
We flip the page and Superman tears through the bizarre tunnel searching for his friends. And he runs into, it's almost upon me, bearing down like a speeding mountain. And he finds the Mountain of Judgment that's about to run over the Whiz Wagon.
The Whiz Wagon is standing no chance against this giant Mountain of Judgment.
And then we flip back to Morgan Edge. And Morgan is just super happy getting to see all this. He's like, the plan is going well. The boys are televising each stage of the progress for my viewing. Now they must get the Whiz Wagon past the rigors of the Zoom way to its intended goal. Nothing must stop them. I've kept all interference to a minimum, even stooping to violence against the snooping Clark Kent. Wonder how he's doing.
Oh, my goodness.
And Morgan Edge is ready. He's like, oh no, Superman showed up. Ugh.
Ugh.
I think that's what we all said. Well, anyway, Superman. Superman actually helps out Morgan Edge by lifting up the Whiz Wagon and moving it out of the way of the Mountain of Judgment. And it says, still clutching his burden, Superman is drawn through the vast opening into the buzzing world of mechanical wonder. So they've made it down the Zoom way.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And they meet some of the outsiders here. And one of them says, like your sensors go over every inch of this car. Welcome, Superman. Oh, these aren't the outsiders. These are the insiders.
No. These are the guys that are inside the Mountain of Judgment because we find out that the Mountain of Judgment, we find out, is just a big vehicle. It's a big truck.
And we find out that these guys are the Harrys.
They're the Harrys and they're scary. And look at all the hair.
Yeah, I guess they're the Harrys, whatever that means. So are the Harrys like the hippies? Then what are the outsiders? I don't know. Like
the outsiders are like dirty Viking bikers and like and then
okay.
And
sure.
Yeah, sure, right? and I mean, look at them. I mean, comparatively, right? And with a daddy or two in there. And then you got the Harrys, and they're just like they're techno hippies. No? In their big rolling thunder mountain?
I don't know. We'll find out. I have no idea. I mean, the story's progressing. Things move forward. There is a semblance of storytelling and some sort of line here. I don't know what's happening yet, but
they want the car.
Well, and he tells, save it, Superman. You may never get to finish the story. What? No, that would be a Grant Morrison book.
Snap.
so I'm going to meet them one day and they're going to be so nice and kind. I'm going to just like Jim Shooter was.
Just like Jim Shooter. He's just like such a nice dude. Felt so bad.
I don't feel bad.
You don't feel bad?
No.
I mean, young Jim Shooter being who he was with things that he said and things. Yeah, that's who he was. But an older, wiser Jim Shooter is a very nice guy.
Well, the Harrys find an alpha bomb on the GBS camera.
Oh, man.
It was going to blow up everything. And jeez, we get an advertisement for Action Comics and Son of Tomahawk, which when you look at the art on these compared to what we've just been doing, it's like not even funny.
It's like, meh.
And then we get the whole text piece by Jack Kirby. The Whiz Wagons are coming.
Ooh.
Yeah, in the Lotus Lands of the Ancient Orient. Oh, boy. The cool thing to do if you had any class at all was to project the possibility of applying the airborne principle to custom carpets. I know he's talking about flying carpets, huh? Well, anyway. If you have the book, read these. They're interesting.
I like checking it out because it was neat to see what he had to say. You know, it's like, oh, this is a snapshot of like what he's thinking about while he's writing this.
Yeah. At present, the Whiz Wagon is no more than life in search of a stimulating zonk and zap. It may be its happiest stage. There are no standard models. Each individual has the opportunity to roll his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can roll your own Whiz Wagon, whatever that means.
Okay. Well, new magic of Jack Kirby. Forever People and the New Gods coming December 1st and December 22nd.
Heck yeah.
And beginning in 71, Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle.
You can buy some diamonds. All right. Back to the story here.
diamonds.
Alpha bomb in our car this whole time. Jimmy Olsen's really mad. Triple murder if I don't defuse this in time. The Harrys go up too. Uh-oh. Well, Superman, good thing Superman was around. He finally does something where it doesn't make him a jerk. He grabs the alpha bomb and falls on it and saves everyone. Good thing Superman was there. I guess he was right. Jimmy can't do anything on his own.
Jimmy needs Superman. Not the cat.
And then the Harrys are very upset. You so-called reporters were unwitting tools of the force that seeks to destroy us. Your car was being used as a method of delivering the bomb against us, but the danger is over for the time being. The Harrys thank you, Superman. You know our story. We seek only to be left alone, to use our talents to develop fully.
Mm.
And Jimmy's, but what about my story?
My story!
And we go back to the wild world of the Harrys and the big mechanical car. He says, and Superman's like, Harrys can't give you all of it, Jimmy. We can show our reporters some of it. We Harrys are a new mobile scientific society.
Ah, techno hippies.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's what this Who song was. Remember the Who song that was about the going mobile and living in the mobile home and evading the tax man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where and that's how you become a Harry.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of like the dream, you know, get the tiny home and go.
Yeah. Tommy, and just can live here. Oh, the different song.
Different song. But, I mean, same feel.
Those albums are very different.
I know they are.
Yeah, not the same feel.
You can go play some pinball now?
Well, only if you're a wizard. In a Whiz Wagon. I mean,
Whiz Wagon Wizards.
Whiz Wagon Wizards, and we're here. Well, anyway, we get to everybody has dinner. It looks very nice. And we get to the bottom of the page, and Superman says, when we finally take our leave, there'll be a lot of questions to ask, and we can start with Morgan Edge. And Jimmy says, yes, he had the Whiz Wagon built, gave us this assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the man in question, He's looking at a TV screen and he says, "I await your orders, sire." And somebody says, "Do nothing. Your plan has failed." Apparently, Darkseid is going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, by the way, there's a Darkseid.
It's a Darkseid.
Yeah, and he says, "Yes, great Darkseid, I am your servant. I have lost a skirmish, but the battle is yet to come. Darkseid, with the mention of a name, the outline of a vast, ominous intrigue begins to take shape. Follow Jimmy Olsen and his friends. It all lies waiting in their features and yours.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. It's some... There's some chills. There's some hairs. There's some good feelings, man. I'm like, wow, the dark side's there. You gotta watch out.
Well, we flip the page, and we get Daily Planet Extra. DC takes top honors at Comic Art Convention.
Hey.
On July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. How much would you want to go back in time in a time machine and be here? 1970.
A lot.
At the Comic Art Convention held annually in New York City, four of DC's own came away with highest honors. Carmen Infantino, Joe Kubert. I heard those are both good. They're both good.
Yeah.
Dick Giordano for editing. And double honors for young Neil Adams, honored by the convention for the new perspectives and dynamic vibrance he has brought to the field of comic art. Neil also won an Ally Award as the best pencil art. No wonder, at age 21.
Wow.
Neil was the youngest artist ever to have his own strip, and he is now serving as a vice president of the newly formed Academy of Comic Book Art. He's won acclaim from DC fans for his work on Batman, Green Lantern, Dead Man, and other features.
I would love to have a time machine and go back to this convention just to see all four of them.
I mean, honestly, of the four, because we've met Neil, so that's obviously you can't talk to him anymore. Dick Giordano is the one I want to talk to, though, because I think a conversation with an editor that edited he wrote too, but edited so many things and had to work with all these different talents would be truly amazing.
And just like pick their brain a little bit and just be like, how is it to work with each one of these people? Or how do you make these types of calls and decisions on what you're going to run and how you're going to run it and how you're going to build this type of story with these creators? Because so much planning.
Yep. And I think Dick Giordano did the Charlton Action Heroes too before going back over. So to DC, and Do you know who recommended? I was just looking. Wikipedia says Steve Ditko suggested that DC hire Dick Giordano because they worked together at Charlton on Blue Beetle. It all ties. It all ties. The binds all tie.
The binds all tie and the ties all bind.
Bind. Well, anyway,
back.
This is our second Jimmy Olsen issue. We will be back soon with another issue of Jimmy Olsen.
Oh,
that'd be
135,
because we need to find out about this Darkseid guy.
And, how to find out? Is he good? Is he bad?
He doesn't sound good.
Oh, yeah. He sounds pretty bad. If he's hanging out with the Edgelord, then...
we're calling him the Edgelord. I don't think you get what that means.
He's living on the edge, right? And he's the lord of it. No?
Sigh.
That's not what an edgelord is.
They
live on the edge, and at the lord of the edge? Like the lord of the dance?
We should wrap this puppy up and get out of here.
Okay.
But all right. I'm wearing a Retro Emporium shirt today instead of my Funny
you
Book
are.
Forensics gear. You know, you can find Greg at the Retro Emporium on Meeker Street in Kent, Washington. If you want to go visit Greg, you can also go visit Anne, because Anne owns the store and runs the store.
It is true. I will tell a funny little story really fast, because while working there today, people came in and were like, "Where's Anne? Who are you? Why are you here?" Because they weren't they're Anne people.
Right.
They're not used to seeing Greg on any day that's not a weekend. So or a later than whatever time. So when I get there early, I throw everyone off that's used to seeing her.
Well, I went to the Retro Emporium on a day, Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I bought a copy of the Atari 2600 version of Joust.
Did you?
I did.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And a pack of Butter Rum Lifesavers.
Delicious.
So, and it was. I got to hang out with Anne for a few minutes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can also find Greg on another podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's the Nerds from the Crypt with Saul Perez. Saul Perez, the life's blood of the show. He and I had been talking, and now we are out of the hiatus and recording again. We've got a episode coming up with Lyndon White and talking about his new endeavors. So tune in, check that out. If you like horror comics, horror media, movies and more, games and other things like that, then check it out. We've got some good stuff coming up and in the shoot.
Okay. So see, yeah. Greg's everywhere.
Not everywhere. It's just some places. Some places.
Well, and sometimes I do episodes of Abs at 50. And
what is how, that? Is that
that's how,
is that
that's how
you...
I can fit into this medium t-shirt that I wasn't able to fit in for many years because Anne gave me this and it was too small.
Too small. And now you look, I mean, now you make that thing look like it's too big.
Yeah.
Because you're looking.
It's what happens.
Swell over there.
So. Or swole.
Swell.
But that's what happens. And if you join us next week, you'll see continued updates on the office setup over here. Those books that are over there might be over here behind me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Dan is changing things up, people. He's making some changes in the office.
Well, it's so we could have a light down here when I podcast at night so you could actually see me. I thought that might not be a terrible idea.
I thought it was just because now you have all these, like, muscles from Abs at 50, and you're like, I gotta move some stuff around. I gotta get my swollenness.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, I could lift stuff before.
I know.
That wasn't the challenge. The challenge was to lose weight. I could still lift stuff before.
I know.
What are you saying? Like, says, yeah. I don't need, do I need
I thought
to
you
bring
were doing
up,
it with your...
Do I need
You're
to bring
doing
up
it with your abs? Hey now, yes, Greg hurt himself bowling. Weak gluteus maximus. Sad.
Well,
depressing.
You should come down to certified martial arts and start training that gluteus maximus.
I should. I should. I should you, do that. I
want to be in good shape, like the big dumper.
I gotta be in good
now
shape
Raleigh.
Like the big dumper. I gotta get my big dumper, my own big dumper in shape so I can be like the big dumper.
Yeah. I mean, you get a $100 million contract.
I think I'm outside of my baseball days for that. But watching.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well, anyway, I guess that finishes up this podcast, but join us next time for Jimmy Olsen. Issue 135, and we'll see where Kirby takes him next.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
All right. Bye, everyone.